Brian Smith and Noah Reinecke are making music as Forever Unfolds, and they've returned to the Antidote for a new talk. Guys, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, good to be here.
It was only a few months ago when you two were last on the Antidote for a chat, and now you've just released your debut album, Growing Pains. Now, you gotta promise me that this album title has nothing to do with that terrible 80s sitcom.
No, to be honest, I'm a 2000s baby.
No, it literally just came about us, like, as far as actually the things you go through, rather than the actual sitcom.
Thanks for that.
Of course.
You guys put this album on the fast track. What was the rush to put it out?
So we had a lot of this in development as early as our last discussion in January. So a lot of the songs were already underway. A lot of them were written over the last several years of my life. Even the first track on the album, Save Me, it was written as long as 8 years ago. So some of these tracks have been around for a while, and some of them are newer. So it made it a pretty easy to streamline the process and get it out.
Yeah, but I wonder what this does to relationships, putting all this time into it. Noah, I know that you're married. Brian, I have no idea if you have a significant other, but that can crush a relationship.
Yeah, see, me and my relationship, I have kids, but I am separated, which is... It's a good relationship, healthy with the kids, mm-hmm. which is awesome. But with his situation, either way, you're like a chicken with its head cut off. You know, you're constantly running back and forth. And a lot of the songs have been written pretty fast, the ones that came out as singles. And then the ones that he had put away, you know, like in his back pocket kind of deal, he had progress on it. And it constantly got better and better, but he never wanted to release it. And it felt like the right time.
Yeah, the strain on relationships, that's a big one. Me and my wife are sorting through that and navigating it. It's definitely a hard thing to balance, having something such as this that you're passionate about, pouring time and energy into, takes you away from the wife and kids. It's difficult to find a balance of, obviously, the passion that I find in my family, providing for them, protecting, being a good dad. I grew up in a house where I didn't have that all the time for my dad, working 60-hour work weeks to provide. So mm-hmm. I have a big heart towards that. But also, man, music has been a huge passion for me since I was in middle school, just an avenue for me to communicate my thoughts and my self-reflections in a way that, you know, I find it difficult just speaking those words. I'm not always great with words unless I really sit and think about them for a while. And music is a way to let that out. So finding the balance between those two passions and two things that really mean a lot to me is difficult, but I'm lucky to have a wife that supports me through it, even if it's difficult for her.
When you two first got in touch with me about Growing Pains, you told me that the song should be listened to in order. Does that mean that the album is telling a single story?
Generally, yeah. The songs are structured in a format that I guess I broke up into three sections in my head when I was developing the album, that there's the struggle, the transition, and the upside. The first bit of it, there's several songs talking about, you know, really diving deep into depression, needing to be delivered from my own thoughts, the things that I try to work to shape and mold my life into that aren't really getting me where I want to go, and I'm not being who I should be through all these things. So there's a lot of struggle in finding identity and overcoming depression and anxiety and in my life, godlessness at times. And then there's the middle section that dives into a transition where I start to really reflect on, you know, maybe there's a reason things are this way, and maybe I'm equally responsible for why my life is the way it is, or even mostly responsible for the way that it is. And then finally, towards the tail end of the album, there's some deliverance and hope. And even though the struggle isn't all gone, there's optimism and just peace, and it's something I don't want to let go of. And even if I walk in circles through this cycle, sometimes returning to my old thoughts and feelings and ways of life and depression and anxiety, I now have some sort of hope through the avenues that I've taken.
Talking about something else that has three portions to it, the killer opening track is called Saved Me, and it starts with these really chill vocals, then moves to rap, then later it heads into these bold, clean vocals on the chorus. Why did you want to make a mix of styles?
This song started off very monotone. I wrote this one when I was maybe 16 years old, and it was very flat. There wasn't much dynamic range to it. It just remained pretty calm the entire song. And it had a little bit of the rap, but I wasn't very good at rapping, and so it wasn't energetic, didn't have any passion to it. But the more I started to reflect on what the song meant to me and, you know, the sort of cry for help that I felt the song was at the time, it was this sort of back and forth of I want help, but there's still some reservation within me that's not communicated in my words, but and then screaming and crying for help and then brokenness of I don't know if I can be helped. So there's these big highs of, you know, screaming and belting and crying out for help, and then just after there's moments of but I need help but I don't know if I can get it. And so I wanted musically to sort of express that relationship in my head that I want help, but man, I don't really believe that I can be.
Yeah, because that comes out on the first verse of Save Me, where it says, I dug a hole so deep to hide myself from what's happening. I build a wall around myself so no one can get inside. But really, don't many of us do that? You know, people think it protects us.
Yeah, no, it does not always protect you. You actually have to face what's going on in your life. And if you do this thing where you protect yourself, it's just going to allow you to then get comfortable with the problem and not deal with it. And that's why we called it Growing Pains, because everything you're doing, it's growth. And you're going to go through this throughout everyone's life. So that's the perfect song to start off the album, to let everybody know that you need to be saved. And to be saved, you have to face what the demons are and realize and recognize. And that's hopefully raising awareness in this.
Well, that is the thing, because the songs of Forever Unfolds, they virtually all share about faith.
Yes.
The interesting thing is that you never push the message. You know, I guess I'm thinking of songs like Salt, where one verse ends with, you know me better, with just a little bit of taste of heavenly and a dash of the salt of the earth. Now, obviously, the Christian music scene will go for your music, but what about mainstream acceptance?
I think that you're going to have that where your religion, it has a perception, and the mainstream is just, some people believe in the scientific side of everything, but you can't lie about mental health struggles. You can't lie about money. You can't lie about the falsifying things. So I think when it comes down to our mainstream fans, they can perceive it as helping them get through and realizing that everyone goes through struggle and everyone goes through happy moments and the sad and the highs and the lows. And that's why I think that it's good for everyone to hear this, not only if you're not a Christian or if you are Christian or whatever belief system you have. It guides you in a direction to help you hear the music the way it needs to be heard. It's for everyone. We think that the light is there. We made the music for everyone because it's not the Christians that really need the message. It's the people that are in the darkness, and let us be the light to then show them the way.
And you're doing it full bore, as I mentioned earlier. 14 songs and 3/4 of an hour long. You could have done it the easy route. You could have just done an EP.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have. See, I have a love-hate relationship with the modern music industry. It's a lot of formulas, and if you follow the right strategies and make the right style and use the exact sounds that everybody else is using, or you just rap the right way, or you use the right brand names or the right swagger, it's pretty easy to blow up. But something else that I don't like about modern music is releasing single after single after single after single, and maybe an EP in there if you start gaining some traction. I've always been an album guy. I want to listen to an album top to bottom and really take away from it what the artist intended. Some of my favorite artists, I appreciate them for their albums, not just single songs or one moment in a song or one chorus that got stuck in my head, but like really what the point of the album, the message, because it gives a story or sort of a piece of the pie of their life. And that album is a good way of representing that, because a lot of songs come from a single point in a songwriter's life in which they're going through a certain thing, and certain trends maintain over these songs and continue. And so I've always been a big fan of that, that an album really gives you a picture and a glimpse into the songwriter's life, what they're trying to say. And I guess that's why I immediately wanted to jump into an album, because in a way, obviously, I want my music to appeal to a lot of people, to be a platform to share my life story and use it as an opportunity to connect with people and show them hope and healing. But I also understand that, you know, this is just as much for me, and, you know, me communicating this piece of the pie of my life and really jotting it down and remembering and understanding and using it to look back on and grow from. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for me.
Yeah, I mean, I do get that, but obviously we live in a soundbite era. Mm-hmm. People want the singles. They don't want anything difficult. They don't want to have to think about anything.
The attention span is very low right now when it comes to people on the internet. But that's why you got to do a little bit of the hustle in the live shows. But you're right. No, I mean, you got to put in the work with the singles, and we are going to do that. We're going to be putting out songs. It's just right now, we just put out 14 songs. So we have to sit back and let people listen to those. And then once they listen to those, guess what? They're going to have more music, and it's going to come within 60 days after another. And then we're just going to keep dropping, and then we'll eventually get where we put those on the next album that has 14 songs, because we're not going to stop making albums. They're too good. They end and they start with the same sounds. They literally just flawlessly move into the next. It's like breathing air. It just literally flows.
Well, Forever Unfolds did release a pair of singles from Growing Pains. The first was earlier this year with YDNML, mm-hmm. you know, which I previously aired on The Antidote. But you also brought out Cry Me a River. That song I struggle with a bit because it gives a really harsh response to a hurting person. It says, "You're such a quitter. You need to learn to play with the cards you've been dealt." Seriously?
Seriously.
Yeah, so that's the way that I internalized that song as I was writing is more so me talking to myself. And I imagined when writing this song, a picture of a friend talking to a friend. And it's more of a friend who's going through something, but he's complacent in the problem. He's not actually doing anything to fix it. All he ever does is complain. And it's sort of a breaking point that the loving friend would end up saying, you know, look, I feel for you, but you need to learn to, you know, just sort of figure it out and actually do something about it for once and not just complain about it, because complaining isn't getting you anywhere. And so internalizing that into the way that I was writing the song for me and the war that I was fighting in my head, that, you know, I'm always complaining about the problems and I'm always complaining about my depression, anxiety, spiritual struggles. And I just for once need to do something about it. Like if I'm feeling distant from God, why haven't I opened up the Bible to read? If I'm feeling like I'm depressed, why am I not doing anything to take away the depression? Like, why aren't I going out and getting in the world and instead of fixating my eyes on only myself, fixating my eyes on other things around me? Like, I'm always focused on the wrong things and not actually fixing the problem.
And learn to play with the cards you've been dealt. I mean, and you know, cry me a river, get over it. I mean, it's a metaphorical statement. It's not only just saying like, hey, get over yourself. It's like trying to say like, there's this river, there's this obstacle, and that you do cry, and then water is a metaphorical crying. I think people say cry me a river. It's pretty harsh, but if you want to be real in life and get through things, sometimes you got to be a little bit harsh. Even though the message may come out harsh, it's the truth behind it that matters the most. So fans, please don't take it personally. We love you. We just don't want you to fall into the wrong hands. So let's do this. We're in this together, guys.
I'd be worrying about your response if somebody was critical about your album.
We are going to have critics, and those are the ones that are going to give us the most attention, so maybe they'll let us get famous. We'll get some haters in our lives.
So now we've switched from the harsh topic to something that's pretty. The cover art for Growing Pains shows a bunch of roses surrounding three plants. I got to admit, I have a brown thumb. I look at a plant, and it dies. Oh, so God. Obviously, I know nothing about plants, so you got to help me out. is the image meant to symbolize something?
Yeah, so the entire album encapsulates this idea of growth, and that, you know, if you're a kid, say you're 12 years old, you're starting to grow, your body's changing, you develop bone growth, and your shins just hurt constantly, right? But it's something that results in you growing. Like, that pain is a result of the beauty that is growth. And so in the struggles that we have and the brokenness that we have and a lot of the things that we experience, they are either part of what brings the growth or they're a side effect of what brings the growth. So it's either the cause or the effect of the growth, right? And so I was trying to think of, you know, how do I visualize this? How do I make a visual representation of it? And I immediately thought of Jesus in the Bible. He's talking about the parable of the seeds that were sown, right? And the thorns come up to choke the one seed and it dies, right? But I started to think about that in a different light in my own life, that the seeds started to grow up and were choked by the thorns, but somehow God found a way to deliver me from that. Because it wasn't necessarily my choice to be cast the seeds onto bitter ground or, you know, the thorny ground or wherever I was cast. It's just where I was planted. God delivered me from that. And so the three little icons that are on the album kind of showcase that a little bit, that there's a little sprout, it starts to grow, the thorns choke it up, but it still thrives in that environment and grows anyway. And so it kind of symbolized that though there was pain along the way, I was still able to become who I was supposed to be. And in some instances, it's part of what made me who I am today.
Noah, you and I have met, and I can understand you have gone through growing pains because you're a tall guy. But you got to remember, I maxed out at 5'6", man. I never had any growing pains, so I know nothing about what you're talking about.
Well, look at it this way. If you're 5'6", you made it there. 5'8", I think, is the average American height. But this album is like this. I'm an arborist, so I know all about plants. And every plant, it has other plants that have roots already established. And every plant's fighting for survival. In your sense, your struggles might have been just you growing up. I think where it is, it's all in the mind. It's not the actual. See, me, I'm 6'1", but I didn't have actual growth pains. But the saying of growing pains, I think that was just a well-made statement of that everything that grows has to go through a little bit of struggle or pain.
I getcha. Back to the music. Another standout from Growing Pains is Jericho. And I want to bring in these lyrics. We were at the feet of giants. The rules of science have become our enemies. And when they deny it, we'll start a riot and control our destinies. I have to know something then. How can science be our enemy?
Like, math is a science, right? You think of probabilities. Like, is this likely to be on our side? Is this likely to happen, right? And so we're at the feet of these giants in front of us, these struggles, the obstacles that are in the way of us getting to our promised land, like the Israelites in the Bible. They're, you know, they had to get through the giants and these walls and these horrible obstacles. And so it seemed like all odds were against them, all probabilities, like the giants, the struggles that are in front of them, but also just the giant of the probability, like the giant that is the struggle that I need to get through to get to the other side. It's a science of probabilities that's against me, like the science of, you know, this giant is going to be stronger than me, and it just doesn't make any sense. And it's just symbolizing and sort of trying to represent that probability and goal or seemingly logical issues that are in front of us.
Now I get it. So that's why you guys aren't going to be going out to play the slots or poker.
No, I'm not a gambler.
Yeah. There's like a very low odds of winning. So it's definitely not the good odds to win.
You know, somebody just recently asked me about your music. So I really want to know this. Like, if someone was just to come up to you on the street and ask you about what kind of music Forever Unfolds was making, how would you describe it?
Oh, me and Brian have had so many conversations about this. like even describing like indie pop to him, like if we were going to go under indie pop, like there's so many things that I could say, oh, there we have relations to indie pop, but we also have some rock structure to our song, especially with the live drums and some guitar. I guess the best way that I've coming up with my own genre, call it introspective pop, I suppose, that like it's more so on the lyrics than the musical style, because we're so diverse that I focus more on the lyrical content. It's all very introspective, thinking inwardly on my own struggles and reflections. And so I guess that's how I would define it if I was trying to, but there's no way that you can put it under a certain genre, because there's funk, there's rock, there's pop, there's EDM, you name it.
Yeah. I think that it gives everybody a little bit of taste of who we are. Like, we are just not one person, we are many. So I think I've been influenced by too many bands, and now I'm just like, there's too much good music out there just to put it in one genre. So let's have fun with this, make this easier for me to write personally. Noah has this tendency to be able to just pull out these amazing vocal performances and then hums it in his head and then just knows what message he wants and picks the right word. And I'm over there and I pick up the right beat that I make up and as I'm going, or the rhythm, and he does it on the piano. And I don't understand how we created a genre that may become something new of other people being inspired by us. Yeah. I like music too much for it to be just one thing. And we did it for ourselves, and hopefully like it's going to work for everyone else.
Well, something I do appreciate about Forever Unfolds is how you guys bring the drumming to the forefront of the songs. And Brian, you're a master on the kit.
Thank you.
Has drumming always been a natural for you?
Yeah, I like to be humble. I do. But yes, no, I just pick up some sticks, and I picked up the drums in fifth grade because I had to do choir, or I had to pick a band. Mm-hmm. And I picked up drums, and I don't know why, I just did. I liked hitting on pots and pans. Mom said, just here, play drums. And I got my first kit in seventh grade, and I could play Green Day, Blink 182. I'd play anything. My mom and dad were like, what the heck? And then next year I got a Pearl double kit, and I was playing like some of the solos were from Rush, and just I was a progressive drummer. And then now it's like, I'm lucky and blessed to have that skill. You got to want something to get it, and I really love doing it. So I flip drumsticks all day and twirl them, and I hit anything that's in front of me, and I can make it sound pretty good on the floor. I think it's good. I've been drumming for about 20 years now, so I think you get good after a while.
You got a lot of experience then.
Yeah, and also, everyone's always said that I got a sound, so I like writing music. I don't copy other people's stuff. I do my own thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope they hear that in this, because it's definitely really me. Everything in the whole album, anyone who's listening, I wrote it on the drums. Everything.
And it's all so well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Something else you see being well done is on the song Circles. And it's got an interesting line on the bridge. And it keeps repeating, it's not about perfection. But you guys got to be honest with me. Isn't making the songs perfect exactly what you're going for?
I tried to walk into the you know, production, the songwriting, the mixing and mastering. Like, I want to give it the best product I can give it, mm-hmm. Because I feel like the product deserves it. Mm-hmm. But the more I got into it, the more I'm like, I'm not going to get this perfect. I've had that conversation with Brian that I could go and I could make revision on the mix after revision, after revision, after revision. And 2 weeks later, think, oh, I could have changed that. Or, oh, that snare could have been louder. Or that vocal could have been a little crisper. One thing after another, I could always make changes and I'm always going to learn and grow. And so I guess that does go hand in hand with the realization of that song, that it's not about perfection. It's about, you know, what Jesus did for me. Not about necessarily being perfect for him, but what he did for me that's going to result in a change and me changing for him.
Yeah, you do go in circles. Perfect imperfections. It's just something that came together and landed on the track, and then it just works. It makes you feel human, because you don't want something to be perfect, because if it is, then it doesn't flow right. And that's what we mean by it's not about perfection in the music. But then again, in walks of life, we may stumble on or we may fall, but we always will try to get back up. Can't be perfect, but you can strive for being better.
Well, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So often Christians are expected to be perfect, or at least other church members expect everyone to be perfect.
Right. And you're not. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. He wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for the fact that we are, our flesh is going to desire things,
mm-hmm.
and our soul desires another, and that's where the war is. And there's the metaphorical statements of fighting in this war, and we have to fight giants, and there's growth and the growing pains, and then just saving us and being saved and save me, and then going up to like all the songs, like just have the meaning towards not being perfect.
Let's pull in that title track, Growing Pains, because that's the one that closes the album. And it's this beautiful ballad all about trusting in the divine. So that song is actually summing up the intentions of Forever Unfolds?
Largely, yeah. It starts with the lyrics, I see you in the calm inside the storm. I see you when the summer days get warm. It's like this beautiful realization of when I look at these amazing things around me, that I just see you. And then I look at myself and I realize that who I will become, and who I'm in going back to circles, like who I'll become inside this womb, this, you know, metaphorical womb of growth, right? Who I will become is so much better than anything that I could force myself into becoming. And then the second verse is then looking at, okay, I'm never going to be you. Like, I'm overwhelmed by this because everything that I am could not compare to you. You're so beautiful. And then going into the outro, you could call it the chorus or the bridge. It's a weird structure on the song, but it goes into that final section where my soul aches, my heart breaks, my hands shake. But all these growing pains and the struggles I go through, they just remind me that everything I'm dealing with here, it's all for your sake. And so I'm going to trust in you. It's all for you. Like all the things that I'm struggling with are all for your sake. So I'm just going to deal with it and take on that burden, because I know it's for something that's so much better than anything I could do.
I really wonder about you two guys, if you've realized that you've put Forever Unfolds into a bind, because how will your next release be able to top Growing Pains?
Oh,
man. Yeah. That's the awesome thing is, I feel like some of the better songs in this album were ones that we developed largely together.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of the songs were developed and had their roots in my back pocket before me and Brian even met. And so I feel very confident that with me and Brian putting our heads together, some of the best songs in this album, like My Apologies, for example, or even the latest version of Save Me was completely redeveloped with Brian in mind.
Yeah.
Jericho was developed with Brian. Never Gonna Let It Go is developed with Brian. And so a lot of these really awesome songs in the album that are my personal favorites were with Brian alongside me, that kind of keep me in check. Sometimes I want to go this way, or sometimes I want to go that way. And he has to say, well, what if we try going this direction, because it's a little more unique and original, and it's got my little drum style on it that makes it a little more interesting. And so he keeps me in check, and then I keep him in check, and we come up with some awesome stuff that I feel very confident that we could at least compete with this.
Yeah, trust and have faith in us, because we are definitely not done. This is the only beginning. We've grown, and we're growing together, and now, like, I feel like I could just look and see if there's something going on in his head, and he can look at mine, and we're just like, we just look at each other, and we're starting to get that feeling like, okay, this is it. Like, we got one. We're just getting better and better. So this is just the beginning.
Brian and Noah, this has been a good one. I got to thank both of you for coming back to The Antidote for a talk.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate you inviting us.
Yes, we enjoy, we love having this conversation with you.